This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, worthy is the Lamb. Jesus died for us that we can call you Father. Jesus died for us that we can have a relationship with you, God. Jesus died for us so that we are not lost, that we can be saved. Thank you, Father, that we could sing it this afternoon, that we could be reminded of it again, what you've done, that you've loved us so much, that you've sent your Son, that through Jesus Christ we can have a relationship with you again. We give you all the honor and all the glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In our life, we are busy with determining our position of where are we, what are we, and a lot of times we're having a look of what people are saying about us. And that's basically determining if we are going to be a success or if we're going to be a failure. And we've got to make a big choice in our life, actually. Is it going to be about what other people are going to say about us, or is it going to be what we are in God? That God is for us the most important one. We've got to make that decision. And everyone has got to make that decision. No one can walk away from that decision. We've got to make that decision in our lives. Is it going to be about us? About the I, the me, the myself? And what other people think about I and me and myself? Or is it going to be our God? What God is doing for us? And all our life should be all about God. It shouldn't be anything else. Without God, the Israelites couldn't. And without the Israelites, God wouldn't. And I'm talking about leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. Exodus 33:15. And then he, who's Moses, said to him, which is God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. They do not want to move if God is not going along with them. The Israelites knew how important it was that if they were going a place, God had to go along with them. They simply didn't want to do anything else. And without God, we cannot. And without us, God will not. God is using us as individuals and as church, is what God has been using Sisi as well, what we hear from the testimony, to make a difference in another person's life. Ephesians is saying for us, or his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So that's where we are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul was one of those guys who was walking in that way. He was doing, his life was all about God. After that Damascus turnaround, his life was just about God. And he's been busy with it, with bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. We can read it in the letters, what he's been writing. And I just want to, this afternoon, take a part out of the letter, what he wrote to the Colossians. And see what Paul is doing and how he is working and how it is having an effect on us in our lives as well. Now, Colossians was, the letters what Paul wrote were basically three letters always. He wrote or a personal letter. The personal letter was then to Timothy and to those type of people. But then sometimes you also would write a type of a general letter, which would be to one certain congregations with the idea that they also would spread it over the other congregations. And then the third letter was an occasional letter. And this is what Colossians is as well. It's an occasional letter. It's specific for that town and it's only applicable for that town. And the reason why Paul is writing that letter is as a reaction from what Ephras told Paul and Timothy of what actually happened over there in Colossae. Ephras has most probably been at Ephesus, where he heard about the gospel, where he heard about Jesus. He took it to Colossae and he started a congregation over there. And that makes Paul and Timothy very, very excited of what's happening over there, that the church was started over there. So Paul is writing this letter. And then if we take a look at the format, I'm not going to highlight each and every one of them. We see that there's a typical Greek letter, meaning there's a name of a sender, the address of the sender, address of the receiver, greetings, And then what I like, then there's a compliment. So that would actually be, if we would write a letter to somebody, we would compliment the person, because the next thing what you're doing, then you're discussing what you want to discuss. So you first pamp that person a little bit, get them in a good mood, and then you start talking about what you want to talk about. And then the summary, and then a closing greeting, and then a signature. What we can see in the last sentence of the letter as well, where it is Paul saying, but now I'm writing the signature. The other part of the letter was most probably was written by Timothy as Paul was speaking then. Colossae was on a certain place which was on a route between Ephesus and Euphrates, where there was a lot of trade. So a lot of people were passing by. And what happened then, when you've got such a place, that a lot of people are coming, but from different backgrounds. And then you get different religions, you get different philosophies, and you get it all in that town. And when I was busy with this, I thought, is Utrecht much different? Not actually. Because we also have got a lot of people over here. Here in the congregation, we already have got quite a lot of people over here. All of us believe that Jesus died for us. That's awesome. But we've got other people in town who've got other religions and also have got other philosophies of which they are following, which is not correct, but what we see in our lives. And that's why I felt as well, this is what Paul is writing to the Colossians. It's applicable as well. We can take it and we can also learn something from it this afternoon. There were two things which were really discussed in the letter to the Colossians. The one is that they said, God is too far away. You cannot reach him. You cannot communicate with him. God is too far away. You need angels or spirits somewhere in between as your type of messenger that you can communicate with God. And then the other of and what I maybe just want to say about it, and I mentioned just yesterday in Encounter 1 as well, God is both greater than the universe, and he's nearer than breathing. And if we take a look at that, and if we try to understand it, then it means that God is awesome, he's great, he's far away, but breathing, I'm breathing in continuously. So close is God to us as well. And that's awesome that it is possible, that we can experience that. The Colossians were battling with that. And then the other, what they were thinking about, or where they had a problem with, is that they said Jesus was too low in their thinking. What Jesus has done, that he died on the cross, was too low. They couldn't understand it. If Jesus died on the cross, who can he be then, the Lord of creation? How can he be the head of the church? How can he be the creator of the universe? They couldn't understand it. They had a problem with it. God was too far away, and Jesus was too low for them. This is how they thought. And Paul is writing this letter then to the Colossians to encourage the people, to motivate them, and to say, well done, guys, what you're doing over there. But he's also telling them that they should protect themselves against the false teachers, against those people who are bringing philosophies and certain religions in it, which is not according to what the word is saying. I'm now going to read a part of Colossians 1 from 9 till 12. I'm going to read it from the New King James. But then I'm going to, verse by verse, I'm going back again to it. But then I'm going to take the Amplified Classic to have a look, because the Amplified Classic has got more words, which is explaining a little bit more. And you will see that a lot of these words, if you go back, let's say, to Eastward or whatever, then you will see that those words are there in the Strongs, that you will see that's the explanation. So it's quite accurate that we can use that. Colossians 1, 9 till 12, out of the New King James Version then. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now we can have a look at the Amplified, where it says, for this reason, and what Paul is referring to is that message what they got from Ephras, who said what happened over there in Colossae, what what happened, that he could start a church, that he heard about the gospel in Ephesus, and that he could bring it over there. And this made Paul and this made Timothy, it made them excited. And they say, for this reason, we also, and then they start with speaking life over the people in Colossae. So from the day we heard it, and that is from the day that Ephras has told them, have not ceased to pray and to make special request for you. So they continuously have been praying for it, for those people. When they heard it, it was a new church which started over there. They were praying for them, they were interceding for them, asking that you may be filled with the full and deep and clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purpose of God and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. It's awesome if you've got people who are praying for you like that, that they're praying for you, that you're going to be filled with the full and the deep and the clear knowledge of his will and all the spiritual wisdom, that you're going to understand what is God's will, that you're going to understand it, that you've got people praying for you. This is awesome what Paul is writing over here. That you may walk life and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work. That you may walk, again, praying for that those people are going to walk in the right way, walking along with God, hearing what God is asking them to do in a manner worthy of the Lord, meaning that they are in communication with the Lord, fully pleasing him. They hear from God what they've got to do, and then they do what God is telling them to do, desiring to please him in all things, and then bearing fruit in every good work. So it's not just a matter of walking with God, but also bearing fruit. And then steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition, so that there's also going to be growth, that there's also going to be an increase in and by the knowledge of God. What Paul is writing over here is actually awesome, what he's saying over those people over there, and what he's praying, how he's motivating them, and how he's building them up, what he's saying over here. We pray that you may be invigorated, which means enabled, that you may be enabled and strengthened with all the power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. We pray that you may be enabled and strengthened, so that they're going to get the strength and the power to do what they've got to do. Paul is praying that, he's speaking that in over the people of Colossians, with all the power according to the might of his glory, that God is also giving them the power through the Holy Spirit to do what has got to be done. And then it says, with joy, with a pleasure. Because we are not busy with God's kingdom, because we've got to be busy with God's kingdom, but because it's joy, it's giving us joy. It's giving us pleasure, because if it wasn't us giving us pleasure, if it wasn't satisfying us, we most probably wouldn't do it. We would stop it, but that it will give us joy. And I'm giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. And that we can thank always the Father, that we always can thank God about his plan, and that we can be part of his plan. So Paul is praying for strengthening the relationship with God, that they can live it out in Colossians, but that they also can bear fruit. We've been singing about the cross, and I just would like to take the cross as a picture and say, if we take the long leg, and if the long leg would represent your relationship with God, if the vertical one would be the relationship with other people, then you most probably will understand that the vertical one cannot be there. Sorry, the horizontal one cannot be there if the vertical one is missing. If we haven't got a relationship with God, how can we have a relationship with other people according to God's will? It's impossible. We cannot do it. We can try to lift it with our own hands. It's out of our own that we can maybe do it for a certain period, but at a certain time it's going to stop us. We cannot carry on with that. But if we take that cross, and if you can just picture it, that you've got that vertical one, which is that relationship that you've got with God, And then you've got the horizontal one, which is the relationship that you've got with other people. And I'm coming to that one a little bit later. I'm coming back again. Because we've got to be linked in. We've got to be, as Mark was saying just now with intercession as well, we've got to be plucked in. We've got to draw from God. We've got to make that cross has got to be there. There has got to be a joint where we are drawing from God what we've got to do on this earth. And in John 15, it also says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We need God. That cross cannot work. We cannot have a relationship with other people according to God's will if we're not linked up to God, if we're not connected up to God. Those who have ever been on a vineyard, they will most probably know that the vine is the one which is coming up vertically out of the ground. And then your branches are horizontal, and that's bearing fruit. Not the vertical one, but the horizontal one. And the horizontal ones are us. It's we. We are the horizontal ones. We are the ones who can bear fruit because we are connected up to the vertical one, to the vine. How are we doing it? With joy, but with sufferings as well. It's also going to cost us. It's not cheap. In Colossians, he says, of Colossians 1 verse 24 then, even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf. And in my own person, I am making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's affection for the sake of his body, which is the church. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my suffering. There we can see that combination of joy and suffering. He's got joy. Paul has got joy of what's happening over there in Colossae, that the church has started over there. But there are sufferings as well. I'm going to tell you a story about a missionary who at a certain time walked from village to village preaching the gospel in India. And then he came to a certain place. It was a small place. And he was trying to share the gospel with the people over there. But they chased him out. And he said, no, they don't want to have anything from and hear from him. And then he went outside the town. He was laying under a tree and then he was sleeping. Then he woke up. And then all the people of the town, they were standing over him. And he was a little bit surprised of what's actually now happening. And they said, when you were asleep, somebody came and had a look. And they saw blisters on your feet. And they said, if you've got news, which is so important, that you're prepared to suffer for it, that you're prepared to get blisters on your feet, then it must be important. Please come. We would like to hear it. Colossians 1:29. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works with me, within me. Paul is working hard and he's struggling. And it's difficult for him to do the things what God is asking him to do. John Piper says this is the verse which continuously keeps him working and let him carry on. If he's reading this, what Paul is writing over here, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on God of Christ's mighty power that works within me. If you've got God's power working in you, yes, you can have sometimes sufferings. But that joy which is coming with it as well, you will carry on with it continuously. Because Paul's life wasn't easy. He has had sufferings. In 2 Corinthians, there's a little bit of a summary. I don't think that Paul had it on a CV, because I don't think that that is a CV which is necessary to qualify for a certain job. But if we take a look at it, yes, he suffered a little bit. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, which means then it's 5 times 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, perils meaning in danger of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. in weariness and toil, in sleepless, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting offers, often in cold and in nakedness. This guy has been suffering. I can have a look at what he's got over there, and there's not one of those things where I can say, tick, I've got the same. No, it's not. He really suffered. He has been suffering, but he's getting the joy out of it as well, what we could see just now, that he had that joy of, through his suffering, what happened over there, that Colossae church could start over there. Because Paul's life was all about God. He was continuously busy with God, and all the suffering what he was doing was for God. If we were going to put up a scale from 0 to 10, and on the one side you say you've got your life without God, it's most probably the I, the me, and the myself, and you just carry on totally on your own. And on the other side, we would say, okay, this is my life with God and just about God, is what we've seen, the example that we've seen from Paul over here. If you had to evaluate yourself somewhere on that scale, just think a little bit about it. I'm not going to ask you to share it. I'm not going to ask you to tell it to me. I'm not going to ask you to write it down. But I just would like you to think a little bit about it. Where are you somewhere on that scale from 0 to 10? Is there a lot of yourself in your life? And sometimes God gets a place in it as well. Or do you really start up the day, the joy in the morning, that you start with the Lord and say, Lord, this is your day. What is going to happen today? It's your day. What are you going to surprise me with today? Where are we? Where are you? Somewhere on that scale. That scale is also reflecting, if God is in our life, how close we are to God. Because the more we are allowing God to be in our lives, the closer we are to God. And sometimes it sounds a little bit strange that you say, but yeah, can we be close to God? Yes, we can be. Because the Word says that the Holy Spirit is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we can. We can be as close that God is in us. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is inviting. He said, draw near to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he flees from you. Draw near to God, and he draws near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purity your hearts, you're double-minded. It starts, therefore, submit to God. So if you're on the one side, where it's all about you, you submit to God. It's not you, the I, the me, myself, which is first and which is king in your life. But now God is going to be first in your life because you submit to God. And then he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us that we should come close to him. And when we are busy with allowing space for God to come in our lives, God is going to come in our lives. There's not going to be a vacuum, that nothing is going to happen. If we say, Lord, please fill up, I want to spend more time with you, then God is going to be there. If we seek his face, we're going to find his face. We see it so many times with intercession as well. When we seek God's face, then he reveals himself. He tells us what should we do and where should we be busy with. But does God really want to work through me, through us? Because we've seen God is the creator of the earth. He let the Israelites walk through that sea. He could let the sun stand still. He could open up the eyes from the blind. He could let the cripple walk, raise the dead like Lazarus. And he did all those type of things. Why is God still needing me? Why must I be somewhere involved in it? God loves it. He loves it to work through us because that's part of his plan. He wants us, that he can work through us. He wants it that we should be part of it. Because if we are Christian, when we are going to become a Christian, we're not going to sit on a chair and then waiting for the second coming of Jesus. When we are going to become Christian, we're going to be a follower of Christ. We're going to copy him. We're going to do what he's asking us to do. We're going to become active. We're not going to be a spectator anymore. But we're going to be a participant. And God is inviting us to be his co-worker. in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field. You're God's building. God wants to work along with us. He wants to guide us. It's not that we've got to do everything, and then when we've something done wrong, then we are punished. No. God is continuously with us, and he wants to work through us. And I also sometimes battle with it. And I say, and I think, but Lord, why are you using us? You're much greater than that. With, just like with a finger, you can stop and you can have the second coming of Jesus and all those type of things. But this is not what God's plan is. God has got certain plans. And we've got to find out what his plans are. And we've got to work according to his plans. 2 Corinthians is also talking about working together with him. We then, as workers, together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We're working along with God. And what has got to happen before we can work along with God? We should have a relationship with him. God cannot work through us if there's no relationship. Coming back again to the cross, the vertical one cannot be there. The horizontal one cannot be there if the vertical is not there. And that's the most important thing. We must have a relationship, a living relationship with God, and then we can make a difference in other people's lives around us, what God is wanting us to do. God wants to do more through us, is what Jesus did. God wants to do more through us, is what Jesus did. More assuredly, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, which is us, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So we can even do greater works as what Jesus has been doing. I think Arena Bonker has got more people who reacted on his altar call as all the people with Jesus got together. He could do greater works. He was prepared to listen to God's plan. And I think we can get more examples of people for healing and so on and so on. In our lives, God is shaping us. God wants to shape us and he wants to make us the way that we should be. It's like an artist who's making out of a piece of solid wood, chopping and making a type of a statue out of it. With time, you see, okay, this is what it's actually going to be. And this is how God is working with us. It is taking time. We're not immediately going to be finished. It is a process what we're going to see. But what is happening is sometimes that in our lives we turn it around. We are shaping God. God is not shaping us, but we are shaping God. We make God the way we want him to be, to fit in our lives so that it works all right, that I can do what I want to do. I've got my plans, and then I can fit in God's plan, and then we are shaping God. God has got to shape us. Paul knew about God's plan, and Paul wanted to live out God's plan. And he was writing then that letter then to the Colossians, that he was happy about it, because he could understand that they were living, their life was all about God, and they wanted to share it, and they were bearing fruit as well. The last day of last year, which was 2017, it was the 31st of December 2017, I was also standing over here. And then 2018 was in front of us. And we also spoke about God's plan. We wanted to make 2018 a year where we were going to do God's plan, where we were going to ask him, what is God's plan? What is your plan, Lord? What do you want me to do? Today is the first day of the second half. I'm not going to ask how far are you, but just to actually remind us again this morning, where are we? Where are we with God's plan? Are we listening to him? Are we doing what he's asking us to do? And is giving us that joy as well? Because I can tell you, there's nothing more what's giving me and Renee joy if we can see that people are coming closer to God, that they move from that zero, they move closer to God. If we can see that is happening in a person's life, it gives us such a lot of pleasure. It's beautiful to see it. Because that's actually the whole idea that what should happen, that we are helping other people, that God is working through us, that other people are coming closer to God. And we live in a world, we live in Utrecht every year, a lot of it is without God. If we take in the 1900s, approximately, statistics say 90% of the Christians was in the Western world every year. Today, 75% of the Christians are in Africa, South America, and in Asia. There's not much Christianity left over here. And we can say it's a lost case. We are gone. God said to us, we've got to come here. We've got to start an English church over here. We're starting with it. And yes, sometimes we're a little bit few, sometimes we're a little bit more, sometimes we've got a band and sometimes we haven't got a band. But it doesn't matter. It's all about God. That is why we are. It's not necessary that it has got to be tick, 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 and then we can only do God's will. No. It's sometimes when things are low. We had an encounter one yesterday, and I think it was 5 to 9. It was just me and Renee. That was all. The buses, drivers were striking, so there were no people coming. And then you think, God, but what is happening now? And we prayed. And the one in the after, the other one was coming. And I can tell you, I've never seen such an encounter one as what yesterday was. And the Holy Spirit was flowing over there. It was incredible. It wasn't my best week. It wasn't that I was on a high with the Lord and that I was speaking and communicating each and every day. No, it wasn't. But then yesterday, as the things were happening again, it is just that like God is shaking you and waking you up again and says, but this is how it can be done. This is what can happen. And it makes me excited and it gives me joy. And yes, there are sufferings. There are things which are uncomfortable for us, what we've got to do. And sufferings have got to happen. And I'm making maybe a very strange example now. If our sins would have been forgiven by a simple signature of Jesus Christ, what value would it have? But now we've seen that Jesus died on a cross. He was prepared to give his life. There's much more value in it. And it's with us as well. If we're putting in effort in another person's life, and another person is seeing that you're putting in effort, you are suffering. Maybe blisters or maybe no blisters on your feet, but you're suffering and you're doing an effort to bring the gospel, to share with somebody else, to pray for somebody like Cece has been doing, to just give a hug to somebody, or if they ask for a bread, then give them a bread. It's giving such a lot of satisfaction, such a lot of the confirmation that what you're busy with is God's will, and that you react as God is talking to you. I want to finish off. Our life is not about me. Our life is all about God. And our life is all about God through me. And that's what's important. And try to keep that picture along this week, the picture of the cross again. And think about it, that fertile one. Think about your relationship with God. Think about how you're communicating with Him. And then ask God what you can do on a horizontal, what you can do for other people around you. And that's giving joy, an immense part of joy. I'm going to ask you to stand, and then I'm going to, what I felt that the Lord was saying to me when I was busy with the sermon, I'm going to speak that prayer, what Paul has been sending to the Colossians, where he was motivating them, encouraging them, where he was strengthening them, where he was telling them to bear fruit. I want to speak it over you. That where you're busy with, in the places where you're busy with, if it is when you're busy with studying, the person studying next to you, the person working next to you, the person working in your street, maybe with you're dealing with people here in the church, that you can make a difference in other people's life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that those children of yours who are standing in front of me, Father, are going to be filled with a full and deep and clear knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom, and in all understanding and all discernment of the spiritual things. Father, I pray that all of them may walk life and conduct themselves in a manner which is worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you and desiring you and desiring to please you in all things. Father, I also pray that they will bear fruit in every good work, and that they will steadily grow, and that they will increase in and by the knowledge which is coming from you. Father, I also pray that you're going to enable them, that you're going to strengthen them with all the power, what they need, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, including perseverance and forbearance, and to exercise this endurance with joy, Father. I pray, Father, if there's going to be suffering, that this suffering is going to be minimal, because the joy which is coming out of it is by far, far exceeding the suffering of what has got to be done to bring that beautiful gospel to other people. Thank you, Father, that we can make a difference in the places where you're going to put us, because we do not have to do it on our own. You are equipping us. You're strengthening us. You want to work through us, that it can make a difference in other person's life. I pray that in the precious name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.